Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I am excited for us to continue on with our Bible on Business series. I pray that our series within a series that we did last week blessed you all. Not just last week, actually, it was about four parts. But I pray that last week's episode in particular about rhythm over routine was as good to you as it is to me. One thing I love about reading the word, and one of the reasons why I emphasize it so much for entrepreneurs in particular, is because it's really the cheat code. Like, you could get all the sales books, you can get all the business books, you could study all of the greats. I promise you, there is nothing that's going to give you a better strategy than the word of God. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to truly reveal and be in control, the revelation that you get, the creativity, the everything, man, I promise you, there is nothing like doing business God's way. There's nothing like turning to the word for business strategy. And that's why I'm standing 10 toes down on this Bible on Business series forever. Okay. And I'm glad for us to continue today. We are going to be still in Acts, and I want to discuss a blueprint that we find in Acts 15, 1 through 21 about handling conflict. This blueprint can be applied in so many different ways. It can be applied in business disputes. It could be applied in any type of ministry or organizational disputes. It could be applied in work. It's just applicable to so many different scenarios. When I talk to people who are preparing to start a business or preparing for entrepreneurship, a lot of times we default to the fun stuff, the marketing or the content or maybe the visuals or the creative, whatever it is that you're naturally drawn to, is usually what you're going to default to as it relates to business. But one thing that I try to emphasize to all the entrepreneurs that I talk to is the business of doing business. And it's important for you not to just be great at whatever your product or service is, but it's important for you to be a great professional, for you to be a great leader, for you to have those soft skills that make a professional environment work, whether it's just you or it's a team. There are these soft skills that are so necessary to having a successful business. And also things like conflict resolution that we're going to talk about here is so important as well, because there's always going to be conflict in business. That is inevitable. It is inevitable that you are going to encounter conflict. If we are going to be Christ-like in our handling of conflict, we want to make sure that we don't ruin our witness. Because above all, yes, we're building these businesses, we're building a generational wealth, we're doing all the things, but we also have to be great representatives of what we believe in, who we follow, who we serve, so that in the midst of all of this work that we're doing, we're also winning souls. And people should want to know the Lord based upon how we handle situations, especially in settings like business, where it's more socially acceptable to be rude, crash, volatile, versus being kind, patient, accommodating. So the text that we're finding ourselves in today's episode is Acts 15, 1 through 21. I'm going to read it out of the English Standard Version first, And then I want to read it out of the Message version, because the Message version, I believe, just kind of gives things a bit of a more of a storytelling approach that could make it a lot easier to digest. But in an effort for us to stay as close to the original text as possible, let's read it in a different translation first. So we're going to be reading it out of the ESV. It says, "Some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.' And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them," which means they was really arguing, "Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, 'It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses.' The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate," more arguing, "Peter stood up and said to them, 'Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, and that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will.' And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them amongst the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, 'Brothers, listen to me. Simon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, After all this, I will return and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old.'" And this is a prophecy from Amos and Jeremiah. It goes on to say, "Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and even from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." Let's read it from the Message, and then let's break it down. Starting back at verse 1, it says, "It wasn't long before some Jews showed up from Judea insisting that everyone be circumcised. If you're not circumcised in the Mosaic fashion, you can't be saved. Paul and Barnabas were up on their feet at once in fierce protest. The church decided to resolve the matter by sending Paul, Barnabas, and a few others to put it before the apostles and leaders in Jerusalem. After they were sent off and on their way, they told everyone they met as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria about the breakthrough to the non-Jewish outsiders. Everyone who heard the news cheered. It was terrific news. When they got to Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas were graciously received by the whole church, including the apostles and leaders. They reported on their recent journey and how God had used them to open things up to the outsiders. Some Pharisees stood up to say their piece. They have become believers, but they continue to hold the hard party line of the Pharisee. 'You have to circumcise the pagan converts,' they said. 'You must make them keep the law of Moses.' The apostles and leaders called a special meeting to discuss the matter. The arguments went on back and forth, getting more and more heated. Then Peter took the floor. 'Friends, you well know that from early on, God made it quite plain that he wanted the pagans to hear the message of this good news and embrace it. And not in any second-hand or roundabout way, but first-hand, straight from my mouth. And God, who can't be fooled by any pretense on our part, but always knows a person's thoughts, gave them the Holy Spirit exactly as he gave him to us. He treated the outsiders exactly as he treated us, beginning at the very center of who they were and working from that center outward, cleaning up their lives as they trusted and believed in him. So why are you now trying to out-God God, loading these new believers down with rules that crushed our ancestors and crushed us too? Don't we believe that we are saved because the Master Jesus amazingly and out of sheer generosity moved to save us just as he did those from beyond our nation? So what are we arguing about? There was dead silence. No one said a word. With the room quiet, Barnabas and Paul reported matter-of-factly on the miracles and wonders God had done amongst the other nations through their ministry. The silence deepened. You could hear a pin drop. James broke the silence. Friends, listen. Simon has told us the story of how God, at the very outset, made sure that racial outsiders were included. This is in perfect agreement with the words of the prophets. After this, I'm coming back. I'll rebuild David's ruined house. I'll put all the pieces together again. I'll make it look like new so outsiders who seek will find, so they'll have a place to come to. All the pagan peoples included in what I'm doing. God said it and now he's doing it. It's no afterthought. He's always known he would do this. So here's my decision. We're not going to unnecessarily burden the non-Jewish people who turn to the Master. We'll write them a letter and tell them, be careful to not get involved in activities connected with idols, to guard the morality of sex and marriage, to not serve food offensive to Jewish Christians, blood, for instance. This is basic wisdom from Moses, preached and honored for centuries, now in the city after city as we have met and kept the Sabbath. So let's break down this conflict, because, like I said, this piece of text is a beautiful blueprint on how to handle conflict. So in verses 1-5, we get introduced to what the issue at hand is. So there were some believers who were from the Pharisee group who insisted that Gentiles must be circumcised. We heard that because they wanted people to keep the law of Moses. Paul and Barnabas were very quick to speak up and disagree, letting them know that, no, we're saved by grace, not by works. And nobody needs to be circumcised in order for you to come to the Father. And this was a heated argument, as we saw in the text. This wasn't like some soft-spoken, quiet, whispered argument. It got heated. And so in order for this thing to get solved, they were sent to the council at Jerusalem. While they were there, Peter was recalling his experience with Cornelius back in Acts 10 because he wanted to show that God gave Gentiles the Holy Spirit without circumcision. Just like the Holy Spirit came upon them, he also came upon the Gentiles as well. And he was reminding everybody once again that salvation is through grace and not through law. So Peter was pleading his case. And they, meaning him and Barnabas, also used scripture and testimony to further prove their point. So they reported different miracles that had happened amongst the Gentiles, again, proving that they did not have to be circumcised in order for them to be saved. James, who was also a key leader, he hopped in and he drew from Amos 9, again, drawing from the text, the word of God, making it clear that even here in the Old Testament, which all of them are very familiar with, through the prophets, God's plan has always included the Gentiles. And then once we get to verse 19, we see that a solution is proposed with the focus of unity in mind. So they didn't compromise at all on what the truth was, that you didn't need to be circumcised in order to be saved. So let's not make it difficult for the Gentiles. However, but let's just let them know essentially to avoid offending the Jewish Christians. That will appease them. Again, we're not compromising at all because we are not agreeing with what the Pharisees are saying, but making these concessions so that people could be happy and at peace is totally fine because it's not at the expense of what the Word of God says. This episode is brought to you by Revolve.com. Many of us do a lot of our shopping online, and sometimes shopping online can be a bit overwhelming, but I really love the experience with Revolve.com. I love specifically how once I find something that's my style, it recommends similar items. So it's almost as if I'm curating this shopping experience that's specific to what I like and what fits my body the best. They also have some amazing curated edits. So if you're looking for something specific, let's say a date night, special event, vacation, they have these curated collections for you that fit exactly what you're looking for. Revolve.com has over 1,200 brands and 100,000 styles across high-end, emerging, and exclusive labels in fashion, beauty, and home goods. With new arrivals daily, we always have something new to choose from. From last-minute getaways to party dressing and seasonal upgrades, Revolve has you covered with fast two-day shipping and easy returns, all on them. And for a limited time, you can shop a curated selection of my favorite styles at revolve.com/blessed and receive 15% off your first order with code BLESSED. That's revolve.com/blessed to shop my top picks and get 15% off your first order with code BLESSED. Offer ends June 15th, so don't miss out. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is a huge deal. My oldest is heading to kindergarten in the fall, and fun fact, his school uses IXL. So we are so excited to lean into it. If you're anything like me, you want to set your child up for success. But sometimes those homework questions feel like another language, especially this new math that these kids are doing. Or maybe your child is ahead and needs more of a challenge. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. It's designed to help them really master topics in a fun, encouraging way. And here's what I love. IXL works for every child. Whether your kid is just starting out or in high school, one subscription gives you everything, pre-K through 12th grade. It's backed by research, and kids who use IXL consistently score higher on tests. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., and 1 in 4 students nationwide are learning with it right now. So if you're looking to save time, save money, and see real progress, this is the smartest investment that you can make. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This was a very simple example of conflict resolution. And what I also love about this example is it's not absent of the humanity of the people involved. As we saw in the text, these conversations got heated. But even in the passion and in the emotions behind it, there weren't, at least not listed here, insults or anything like that spewed out. The emotions of the individuals involved was present, but the focus was on resolution and resolve. And so I believe there's so much to be learned on how we should handle conflict in business, ministry, work, etc., based upon the example set here in the text. So let's explore how we can adopt the principles that we're learning here in the text and how we handle conflict. Something that I was thinking about as I was studying this, thinking back really to my own experiences with people in business and partnerships and all of that, I'm somebody who likes to address issues head on, especially when it comes to business, because I don't like for there to be any ambiguities. I don't like for there to be things unsaid. I like to be very clear and direct, so everybody's on the same page as far as like what's going on. And if there's something we need to work through, we'll work through it. So me being a very direct person, what I have realized over the years is a lot of people are not like that at all. A lot of people avoid problems. A lot of people are people pleasers. A lot of folks just try to sweep things under the rug. And I feel like in faith-based spaces, it's worse because we equate passiveness to humility, and that's simply not true. So I wanted to do some research because I was curious as to, according to human behavior and people who study it, what are folks' patterns in as it relates to conflict in business? So first, I found that most people avoid conflict, but at a cost. So according to a study, 85% of people experience conflict at work, but 70% of employees admit to avoiding conflict rather than addressing it directly. That is a crazy statistic. 85% of people are going to experience conflict at work. 70% are going to avoid it. So only 15% of people, if we just use the numbers that we're given here, are going to address things head on. To get more specific with our episode, only 15% of people, according to statistics and these numbers that we have, are going to handle conflict at work the way that the Bible illustrates that we should be handling conflict. Ain't that something? And this doesn't just impact you in the workplace. This is an issue that will impact you personally as well. A study published by the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found that avoiding conflict in close relationships, including working relationships, is associated with increased stress and anxiety, decreased relationship satisfaction, internal resentment that builds over time. These are very personal implications that happen as a result of us being avoidant with conflict when it comes to our endeavors. The Lord doesn't want us to have increased stress and anxiety. He doesn't want us to have decreased relationship satisfaction. He doesn't want us to have internal resentment that's just building and building and building because we're not saying anything. He wants us to address things head on. He makes room for our humanity, as we saw in the text, but he wants us to be focused on unity, compassion, and resolution, because that's going to solve the issue at hand, and it's going to allow for us to live more peaceful lives. I want you to think about that the next time you're presented with the temptation to avoid an issue in work, in business, and ministry, as opposed to addressing it head on. Think about what the text says, and also think about the personal implications of that decision, and allow that to be louder than whatever discomfort that you may have with addressing issues head on. I remember when I was earlier on in business, I had this business partnership. The partnership was 50-50. I was in control because I told y'all before that my preference in partnerships is always that I'm in control, because it allows me to be able to make the decisions that I feel the Lord is leading me to make without anybody else being able to override that. But nevertheless, I was in this partnership, and I had a lot of issues and conflicts that at this time I avoided. New in the entrepreneurship space, really insecure, to be quite frank, about my role and position as an entrepreneur. And I was in a partnership with this person, And there were a lot of things that I swept under the rug. I felt like I was doing most of the work. I felt that my commitment level was different. I felt that the person that I was in partnership with wasn't committed to the big vision that I had for what we were working on together. And it frustrated me a lot. And I swept it under the rug. I swept it under the rug. I swept it under the rug. The Lord gave me clarity about this partnership and told me that it needed to end. But again, me trying to avoid conflict because of my own internal stuff at my younger age, I delayed it. And as I delayed it, I got more frustrated. The business that we were doing together suffered. As a result, it just wasn't good all around. I would be frustrated, angry, stressed, like this weighed on me way past the times that we met or worked together. And it wasn't until I decided I was going to have to put my big girl panties on and obey the Lord and end this partnership that I felt peace that I probably could have felt a long time ago had I just addressed the issues. And so I can look back on that and other scenarios, especially earlier on in business. I've learned to be a bit more confident as the years have gone on because it is my personality to address things head on. But when you have your own internal stuff and your own, insecurities and all of that, sometimes that could override your temperament. And so earlier on in business, because I didn't have the confidence that I have now, because I didn't trust my decisions the way that I do now, because I didn't have as much trust and confidence in the Lord as I do now, it was a lot harder for me to lean into that aspect of who I was. But now looking back, I could see how I caused myself a lot of unnecessary stress. I caused a lot of confusion when the Lord wanted me to have clarity. I had a lot of fake peace because I was being quiet as opposed to having real reconciliation. And I was burnt out because all of this is weighing on me spiritually, in addition to all the work that has to be done just by nature of being an entrepreneur. When you look at Acts 15, they confronted situations head on within community. They listened to each other with humility, even when they didn't agree. They allowed themselves to be discerning based upon scripture, because remember in the text, they went back to the Old Testament, which everybody was familiar with, to prove what it is that they were saying. They made clear decisions and they communicated those decisions in a unified way. This is a blueprint for how we should be behaving. So as I continue to do some more research, what I was thinking about was how we live in this digital age. So the conflicts that we deal with are not just in-person conflicts. These aren't just things that we experience in our physical work environment or at conferences or in our day-to-day lives. We now have this online world, this worldwide web that has opened us up to so many people, especially if you have a platform. You are opening yourself up to being criticized or having conflict with so many people, those that you know and those that you may not know. And so as I was looking at this text and thinking about how to apply what they've modeled for us in Acts 15, I couldn't help but think about the added dynamic that we have in the modern world that they didn't have to deal with back then. So check out what I found when I was researching this. So the first thing I found was this rise of digital avoidance. There was research that was published that said people are more likely to avoid or delay conflict when communication occurs via digital platforms. This includes text, email, and social media, rather than face-to-face. This is called mediated avoidance, where someone might leave a message on read, ghost, or indirectly address issues online instead of having a direct conversation. How many times have we seen that? There's a whole term for it on Twitter, subtweet. When you would, maybe I'm aging myself because I ain't been on Twitter in quite some time. And I know it's called X, but we ain't calling it that. So, but when I was on there, subtweeting was very much so a thing where if you see something or you got a conflict with somebody and you want to talk about them, you just talk about them, but you don't at them though. And we see this even on all the social medias. You'll see somebody do a TikTok video or a social media post on Instagram or Facebook talking about somebody, and you may know who they're talking about. Folks who are familiar with the situation may know who they're talking about, but they're not adding them directly to speak to them directly or speak of them directly. They're not messaging them one-on-one to have a conversation. And you might be guilty of doing this or ghosting, where instead of just telling somebody what the issue is, you start responding less. You're not interacting with them as much as you would before. So anybody can sense that change of pattern of behavior and rightfully assume that something's going on, but nobody's talking about it though. These are all indicators that there is a conflict present, but nobody is addressing it head on. Where you might have used to respond to somebody in 2 seconds and now you're leaving them on red. Now it takes you 2 to 3 days to respond to somebody's message and you expect them to not know that something's up. These are all patterns of avoidance that we have adopted in this digital age. But this is not how they acted in Acts 15. Yeah, they didn't have all of this technology and all of that, but the character remains the same, and it's something that we should be applying today. They chose in-person communal dialogue to resolve their tension, not passive notes or messengers. They wasn't walking around in their sandals with their donkeys talking trash loudly amongst themselves so the Pharisees can hear. No, they wasn't doing that. They address these problems head on. I also found that there was a psychologist who coined this term online disinhibition effect to describe how people act differently online, often more aggressively, disrespectfully, or impulsively. Social media in particular, they say, creates echo chambers that reinforce division. So then conflict becomes performative instead of restorative. So somebody's focused on being right versus being reconciled. And we see this play out on social media all of the time. People put their big girl and their big boy panties on when it comes to social media. They say it with their chest, all caps, emojis, talking greasy. I mean, we see it in the comments where people just say anything that you know for a fact they will never in their life say that to anybody's face. We know that. But there's something about being behind that keyboard, being behind that phone that causes people to act different. And sometimes we may be tempted to be a bit more slick at the mouth when we're behind a keyboard than we would in person. This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Have you ever had those days where you're doing everything quote unquote right, eating clean, staying active, getting rest, but your energy's still crashing, your moods are all over the place, and you feel totally out of sync? I've definitely been there. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the quiz myself, and the results were eye-opening. It said my body may be overflowing with estrogen, which could be behind symptoms like my fatigue, bloating, and low moods. And based on my results, the quiz recommended Hormone Harmony, a natural formula that helps flush out excess estrogen and brings your body back into balance. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. By taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and can make small, intentional changes to support your body. Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. But in Acts 15, the early church, they modeled the behavior to prioritize listening, to utilize testimonies and scripture. They weren't focused on emotional outbursts. They had emotions because, as we saw, these conversations often got heated. But I interpret that as more so of the volume and the passion of the conversation. But nobody got disrespectful. There was no shaming. There was no emotional outbursts that were written here. There was none of that talking slick. It was listening, providing testimonies, and scripture. Simple. I also found that in this digital age, there is a decreased empathy in digital communication. A study from UCLA shows that children who had less face-to-face interaction and more screen time score significantly lower on empathy tests. Adults are also impacted because nonverbal cues, so tone, facial expressions, body language, things like that are lost in digital settings, so it makes it very easy to misinterpret tone or intent. And as a result, we develop thinner skin, always assuming the worst instead of seeking understanding. How many times have you read a text and you misinterpreted the tone? And so because of that, or misinterpreted what the person was saying. And so because of that, you took it the wrong way. Piggybacking on a point made earlier, studies are showing that the fear of confrontation has now increased with the digital age. So these modern technology tools that we have make it easier to disappear than to deal with an issue. So because we've developed this fear of confrontation, we then default to those avoidant behaviors that we talked about. According to research from the Pew Research Center, younger generations, especially Gen Z, are more likely to describe confrontation as harmful or anxiety-inducing. And there's this cultural shift towards avoiding discomfort at all costs, even if it means sacrificing resolution, reconciliation, or clarity. Now, we know as believers, there is no way that we are going to avoid discomfort ever. We are humans in flesh. Then our flesh doesn't want to do the work of the Lord. We live in conflict. We are entrepreneurs in the marketplace. We are Christian entrepreneurs in the marketplace. There's going to be confrontation. There's going to be conflict. We're bringing ideals and principles and a way of doing things that is contradictory to what may be acceptable to the world. So that us trying to avoid discomfort is just silly. Even when we look again at Acts 15, instead of fearing confrontation, Paul, Barnabas, and the elders, they leaned into it for the sake of truth and the unity of the church. They were tunnel vision. They were focused on what mattered above all. And so when we are facing conflict of any kind, we have to lean into it. If you're preparing to start a business and you're preparing for entrepreneurship, as I said in the beginning, I know we could default to the things that are the most attractive to us or make us the most excited. But if you embody any of these character traits that we talked about that is opposite of what we saw in Acts 15, this is something to work on. This is something to talk to your therapist about. Your avoidant tendencies, your discomfort or anxiety around conflict, your people-pleasing nature. This is something that's to pray about and take to the Lord, to ask Him to show you the root cause of it and so that He could heal that part of you. Yes, this may not sound like this is directly going to impact your business as far as how much money you're going to make or how you're going to build your brand, but this is going to build you up and build up your spiritual discipline and your ability to lead so that you can do the work of the Lord well. After reading all of this and going through all of this research and these studies, I wanted to come up with something that was easy to remember that you can apply and can be top of mind as you approach conflict, because you're not thinking about Acts 15 when something happens. Right? I understand that. But what you can think about is this acronym that I've created that is rooted in Acts 15 to help you be able to apply the principles that we saw to whatever situation that you may face. And so the acronym is easy to remember. It's PEACE. And I'll put this in the show notes. Screenshot it, mark it as your favorites. So when something happens, you could easily reference it. The P in peace stands for pause and pray. Whenever a conflict arises, whether it's online or in person, do not react impulsively. Take a moment, breathe, reflect, and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance. Ask the Lord, how can I approach this situation with humility and truth? Instead of just avoiding the conflict or ignoring the text, pause for a second. I read something today that really irritated me. I'm in the middle of a business deal, and something that was said just annoyed me real bad. And I was up until this point responding really quickly because I'm trying to get the deal done. But I paused for a second. I'm like, let me not respond to this right now because my initial reaction is impulsive and I want to get this done and not be blinded or intoxicated by my emotions. And so I put my phone down for a second. I went, got some water, did something else. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, give me the wisdom to answer this correctly. And so I gave myself a second to cool off. I invited the Holy Spirit into the conversation, and then I answered appropriately and we're continuing on in our negotiations. So it is very easy to pause and pray. And I think this is even easier for those who do act more avoidant because you're okay with not responding to something right away. But it also, your avoidance nature can also work against you because you'll never actually come back to respond. So you have to definitely make sure that you come back to respond, but pause and pray. And then E, examine the root issue. Get clarity in this conflict of what's really bothering the other person. Is it a values issue? Is it unmet expectations? Is there a communication breakdown somewhere? Is there an emotional trigger? Like, what is it? In Acts 15, they didn't argue surface level points. They addressed core concern. What was said was that the Gentiles needed to be circumcised. They didn't spend a bunch of time talking about circumcision. They talked about the root issue, which was that there was a disconnect in belief systems in law-based salvation versus grace-based salvation. So that's the conversation that was had, not who, when, why somebody getting circumcised and all of that. They bypassed the surface level and went straight to the core concern. So do the same thing. Look for the root issue. And a lot of times what comes with that is just letting stuff slide. Because when you're having a conflict, if you're in conflict with somebody who may be a bit more impulsive and in the midst of them really talking about what is bothering them, they say some slick things here and there. Sometimes you just got to let that slide so that you could deal with the core issue and not answer line by line whatever their argument was. Just look past all of what doesn't matter to get to the core. So that's E. A is approach with empathy and accountability. So have the conversation that you need to have in person or over video when possible, even if it's digital, make sure it's video so that y'all can see each other's face. So nothing is misinterpreted. So everybody's focused and alert on what's going on. Listen more than you speak. Own your part before pointing fingers at somebody else and empathize with their position, but also stay grounded in truth. Acts 15 was a great example of that, to where they empathized with those that they were in conflict with, but they were grounded in their truth. C, collaborate on a Christ-centered solution. Don't try to win. Focus on reconciliation. And if you need to have a neutral third party, then go ahead and do that. James, in the conversation in Acts 15, was a neutral third party. And then in this, propose solutions that align with your values, that honor God, and that move your business forward. And then E, establish the next steps. Clarify what was decided and what comes next. Summarize any agreements that you have in writing if needed. And I feel like everything should always be in writing so that there's no ambiguities and everything is very clear. And everybody is on the same page moving forward, and you can avoid future communication breakdowns by having things in writing. And then also just affirm the relationship and commit to following through. As we saw in the text, they referred to each other as friend. So this relationship was affirmed that this is friendly. Yeah, we have a conflict, but we're not against each other. It's not you versus me. It's us together working towards a unified solution. So that's the PEACE acronym. Again, P is pause and pray. E is examine the root issue. A is approach with empathy and accountability. C is collaborate on Christ-centered solution. And then E is establish next steps. I hope that this provided you guys with some insight on how to handle conflict as a Christian in your business. I pray that you saw and got a lot from the blueprint in Acts 15. And I pray that you see value in this PEACE acronym as a tool for you to use when, not if, but when you encounter conflict in your business and or your ministry as well. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up here. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.